today. Could Conservative Remain voters stop Boris Johnson from getting a majority? And 1 year on from her death, the murderers of Honduran environmental activist Bertha Caceres are finally sentenced.
I voted Remain, and I've struggled with that ever since. And one stage I bought into the argument that the thing had to be resolved. But the more I think about it, the more I'm agonising over this vote. You know, I've been a Tory voter all my life. And for me to change my spots at this stage is quite a big leap.
This is obviously a difficult decision for you.
Yeah.
You sound like you're agonising over it. Tell me what the different factors are that are playing through your mind.
I'm very nervous about Corbyn's policies. I think they're irresponsible. I don't think they can be funded. I think they'll do a huge amount of harm to the economy. So that, in a way, is an argument for voting Tory. But does that argument transcend the argument for staying in the European Union? This is why I'm agonising.
Where are you at the moment?
I change my mind every day.
The decision that this voter, Alistair Lang, is grappling with could be absolutely key in this general election. We talk a lot about people in the north of England or the Midlands who might vote Tory for the first time on December the 12th. But what about others like Alistair, who are thinking of breaking their lifelong commitment to the party? Polls show that voters like him, who are traditionally conservative but backed Remain in the EU referendum, still have the power to swing the vote in dozens of key seats. From The Guardian, I'm Anoushka Astana. Today in Focus, could Tory Remainers stop Boris Johnson from winning a majority?
Hello, Ben Howlett speaking.
Oh, hi, Ben. It's Anoushka.
Hi.
I think of the former BAF MP, Ben Howlett, as the ultimate Tory Remainer.
I am, and I am heartbroken by Brexit.
He joined the party as a teenager, excited by David Cameron's socially liberal agenda, and is on the wing of the party that calls itself One Nation. You became the MP for BAF in 2015 and then lost the seat just 2 years later. What happened?
I voted Remain, my constituents voted Remain, but, you know, that didn't matter diddly squat to them. It was all about making sure that their voice was heard in relation to remaining in the EU, and the Conservatives weren't, at that stage, or still aren't, making that case.
And, Ben, let's be honest, loads of people on your side of the party are walking away from the Conservative Party under Boris Johnson, some of them actually joining the Liberal Democrats. I mean, why are you still a Tory?
I mean, look, the Conservative Party has moved to the right. I don't think we can describe it in any other way. And I don't want the party that I've worked very hard for over the years to go in the way that the current leadership of the Conservative Party is going. And at one stage in my future life, I believe that the Conservative Party will once more represent the sort of Cameronism, liberal conservatism which I signed up for at the beginning. And I'm not prepared to run away from that cause.
It sounds like you're hanging on by your fingernails, Ben. What are you doing during this election?
So I'm helping out with friends of mine who I was campaigning with on some of the European rebellions when I was in Parliament, One Nation Conservative MPs, who, you know, I want to see returned into Parliament to carry on making that voice clear to a government that is moving ever more to the right.
OK, so you're travelling around trying to help the type of people you want to keep in the party. Where are you going?
So I'm off to Wimbledon, I'm off to Worcester, I've been out and helped with a few friends in other seats, but next I'm off to Winchester to help out with Steve Bryan.
Winchester is a pretty affluent constituency in Hampshire, quite close to the south coast. On paper, the Tories should hold on to it. But interestingly, it's on this list of 45 seats I've been given by the pollster Joe Twyman that could be at risk. That's because 6 out of 10 people in Winchester voted Remain in 2016. The Lib Dems are in second place, but tactical voting could help them. Labour is way behind here, and the Green Party has even stepped aside to help them.
In this general election, Michael Hassettine, former Deputy Prime Minister under John Major, of course, is urging people not to vote Conservative, the party he is a lifelong backer and activist in. He's urging them to vote Liberal Democrat if there is not an independent Conservative MP that they can vote for. Lord Hassettine joins us on the line. Morning to you.
It's
pretty amazing we've reached a point where a Conservative grandee, Michael Hassettine, who we know really, really doesn't like Brexit, is on the Today programme in an election campaign urging Tory Remainers like him to vote for the Lib Dems. I mean, that's why we've come to Winchester. It's a Conservative held seat, but the Liberal Democrats are very, very close in the polls, and they want to win over those Tory Remainers.
Hiya.
Hello.
We join Ben and Conservative candidate Steve Brine door knocking in the pouring rain. Do you like being an MP?
I love being an MP.
What do you love about it?
I've done it now for almost 10 years and I can't think of a single day when it's been the same. You know, I've done office jobs and I've hated them. The bit about an MP's job that no one in the media and most people ever get is that the casework is the base of what you do. You know, that's just the best bit. It's just a great, great feeling when you get to help people.
You've got a 10,000 majority, even in 2017 when your colleagues like Ben Howell that lost their seats.
Yeah.
All the tactical voting websites have got Winchester on them. They say you're neck and neck. And if the Lib Dems can squeeze Labour anymore, they can beat you. I mean, how much does that worry you?
You know, that's politics. And I'm in politics because I believe in it and I believe in the cause. And I'm doing my best for my constituency. And if that's not enough for people, well, then, hey, you know, they won't support me. But I just think, you know, the tactical voting and the Remain Alliance. But you know what? A lot of people here, like me, think not an awful lot of this grubby deal between the Greens and the Liberals. Anyway, look, number five, there's somebody there on the door, so I'm going to jump in. So interesting, that gentleman there, a very broad Scottish accent, has lived in Winchester for about 25 years. He's voting Labour.
Voting Labour?
Doesn't like Jeremy Corbyn, but he's voting Labour.
Interesting, and that's good for you, isn't it? You say, go ahead, do that.
I say vote for what you think is right.
You clearly are on the kind of more liberal wing of your party. Is that fair to call it liberal wing?
Yes.
And you were prepared to lose the whip.
Yes.
To take a vote in Parliament recently. And there are people here who feel passionately about Remain.
Yes.
And will not love Boris Johnson. How do you cope with that?
I talked to them about my record as a local MP, and I talked to them about my position, my moderate position on Brexit, which is, I don't parrot the words get Brexit done. What I say is that we need to unblock Parliament and move on from the inertia in Westminster, which is dragging investment down, which is holding back decisions. I keep saying to people on the doors here, I've got to try and represent all of my constituents. I can't represent the extreme ends. I can't represent the Farage end or the liberal, let's call it all off because we don't agree with it end. I've got to try and represent the middle position, the moderate position, which is respect the referendum result with a deal. And I think, in fact, I know that's where the vast majority of my constituents are. This lady wants to speak to me. She's just summoned me, so I'll go. Any questions, any policy stuff that you're interested in while I'm here?
No, just get Brexit done.
OK, all right. Well, my promise to you is this. If we get re-elected, majority Conservative government, we will unblock this Parliament, get the treaty ratified.
That's exactly what this country needs.
Yeah.
Have you ever voted for anyone else?
Yes.
Who have you voted for?
I have stood for the Liberal Democrats.
Stood for them?
Yes. Long time ago, when it was SDP in Basingstoke.
Oh, my God, my feet have gone numb. This happens, like, why do I never wear proper footwear? I mean, you're getting trench foot. You've got, it's not just you, it's these guys are out with you all the time.
Yeah, the activists are amazing. I mean, you remember, I'm doing this to continue doing my dream job. They're doing this because they want
to
help me continue doing my dream job, which is really nice of them. I mean, you know, Ian's been a councillor in Winchester for years and years and is a very experienced canvasser. Knows everybody. Used to work in NatWest Bank, so knows almost as many people as I do.
I just noticed before that when I mentioned that there were some Remainers here, that you kind of put your hand over your heart.
Oh, I'm a staunch Remainer. Yeah, absolutely staunch Remainer.
I think I class myself closer to a federalist. I think being a European is fundamentally important. Campaigned on the referendum for that.
So you're now pounding the doors for Boris Johnson?
Yeah, I didn't vote for Boris in the leadership elections, but we have to have a conclusion to this impasse which has gone on for 3 years. And strangely, I'm absolutely staggered how Boris has galvanised the country, for better or for worse, but you have to make a decision, and that's what he's offering the country.
The door I've just come back from is a classic example. So he said, "Hello, Steve, how you doing?" And, you know, he knows me, respects me, likes me as a constituency MP, not sure about Boris. We had the conversation. I said, "And how do you feel about Jeremy Corbyn as Prime Minister on the 13th of December? And he said, "Blimey, that would be a heck of a lot worse." And so, you know, the message to him, the conversation we just had is, "Look, I appreciate you're probably not going to vote Labour." "No," he said, "that's a complete waste of time here." I said, "Don't end up with Labour by default." And he said, "No, I get it, Steve. I get it. I'll think hard about it. You'll probably get my support."
So that's the message, that if you vote Lib Dem, you get Corbyn.
Well, you do. I mean, you know, a Lib Dem MP in Winchester is Jeremy Corbyn's best Christmas present. He would be delighted with that. Of course he would. One less Conservative is one closer step he's got to number 10 Downing Street.
Okay. Steve Bryan thinks he can hold on to Liberal Tories by warning them about Corbyn.
Right, we are at the Lib Dems campaign office in Winchester.
But the Lib Dems say they don't just have former Conservatives promising to vote for them. They've got some actively campaigning with them.
Hi, I'm Philip Katz. I've been a lifelong Conservative voter. I felt that my party had left me.
So I'm Stuart McCulloch. I'm a recent joiner to the Lib Dems.
I'm Brian Selby. I'm a defected Tory and joined the party earlier this year.
My name is Richard Hoyle. I stood as a candidate in the 2001 general election for the Tories.
With the Tories, their messaging is vote Lib Dem, get Corbyn, isn't it?
Yeah, they're desperate to suggest that any vote for Lib Dems will increase the chance on Corbyn, so they're playing up the risk from Corbyn. The fact is he's not going to get there. The question is whether we have a Conservative government or we have something else.
One of the doorsteps with Steve Bryan, the guy said he was voting Labour, and I'll be honest, I think Steve Bryan looked pretty happy about that. I mean, how important is it for you guys to win over people who might be considering voting Labour?
Well, I think it's vitally important. Labour have got no chance of winning here, and Labour itself are not viable as a government under Corbyn. So the only hope we've got here is to have a strong showing from the Liberal Democrats, to have a hung parliament, and be able to have a people's vote in due course. So that people
know where these former Tories are campaigning for the local candidate Paula Ferguson.
And over here, if you want to have a look, I can show you the map of the constituency.
Who wasn't a member of the Lib Dems before the 2016 referendum?
Brexit was the trigger. It really was the trigger for me. I made my kids a promise. I said, I will do whatever it takes to stop this. Now, to be honest, I thought that might mean going and delivering a few leaflets. I had no idea it would mean standing for Parliament.
How old are your kids?
My kids were teenagers at the time.
All Remainers.
All Remainers. They're not all Liberal Democrats, though.
They're not all Liberal Democrats.
Nope.
If you can't persuade your own children, what are they going to vote? Corbyn?
Well, one of them can't vote here, so they're not voting for me.
Just be really honest with me. Like, there must be some difficult conversations on the doorstep.
So sometimes you speak to people and you have the conversation around, is it anti-democratic to want a confirmatory referendum, or our policy where we said if we got a majority government, we went from 19 to 300 MPs, that we would then use that to revoke Article 50 because we're on a clear stop Brexit message. So that you can have a difficult conversation about that. But what's really interesting is if you say to people, okay, just for a second, can we put Brexit aside? And you start talking to them about the state of the NHS. If you talk to them about the other issues, then they begin to doubt the Conservatives' position.
And I almost can't believe that a Liberal Democrat message would be put Brexit to one side. I mean, to us, it seems like that's what the party's all about at the moment.
I absolutely disagree.
It's interesting, isn't it? Because clearly Brexit is key for the Lib Dems. But in Winchester, the party has been running the local council, so there's lots more to talk about. And it does sound as if that national policy to revoke Article 50 and cancel Brexit if they get a majority, which made sense at the time as a way to try to outflank Labour, could be quite difficult with some voters. we've got this amazing resource at The Guardian, which is called The Community Team. And I spoke to the community editor, Caroline Bannock. What they do is they put a call out to people in a particular area and then they can fill in a form and give you opinions on stuff. So we did this call out, got over 100 responses of people all over Winchester with very interesting things to tell us, people who are largely Remainers, because that's what we said we were interested in. Lots of them actually voted Lib Dem in 2017, but I was particularly interested in people who previously voted Conservative. So there's one couple, Felice and Peter Hardy. They're travel writers with three adult kids and have previously been Tory, but are big Remainers.
Hiya.
Are you okay with dogs?
Yeah, fine. Yeah.
I used to vote Conservative only because I wasn't interested in politics at all, and I thought, oh, David Cameron seems intelligent, and that's about it, really. I didn't really think further than that. And then the referendum came along, completely changed my mind. And actually, I'm not Lib Dem at all. I'm Independent Group for Change is who I support, but they don't have anyone here, so I'm voting tactically.
And Peter, do you feel similarly passionately?
I feel absolutely passionate about remaining. I don't feel absolutely passionate about the Lib Dems. I will vote Lib Dem because anything to keep out Steve Bryan here. Not because I think he's a perfectly reasonable guy, but I don't approve of his record, what he's done. He was elected on a Remain ticket, so to speak, in a Remain constituency. And his argument is, oh, well, we had the referendum and the people have spoken. Well, I just think that's a ridiculous theory. People change their minds all the time about things. Otherwise, we wouldn't be having an election every 5 years.
I mean, there's probably two outcomes here. One is that you get Boris Johnson as Prime Minister and Brexit happens. If that happens, how will you feel?
I almost feel like moving to another country.
It sounds a bit like you're voting against everything and for nothing.
Well, it feels a bit like that at the moment, I'm afraid, because I'm definitely pro-Remain. But what chance do we have here, you know? I mean, what are my alternatives? I could vote Conservative and we end up with Boris Johnson and an extreme right-wing party. Or I vote Labour, which gets nowhere here at all. There's no chance whatsoever of the Labour Party winning this seat. Lib Dem, the only option I really have.
How do you feel?
Quite angry, actually, at the moment. Quite angry that we don't have a bigger choice. You know, there are people like us up and down the country who really feel disenfranchised because the parties have gone to such extremes. And we're stuck here in a beautiful part of the world with no choice left to us, really.
We've really seen in Winchester just how much politics has changed in recent years. People used to identify much more with political parties, the Tories, Labour, Lib Dems. But as we know, that new Leave-Remain divide has complicated things. This election isn't going to be decided by every seat in the country. It's going to be decided by marginal seats that could change hands. And we talk a lot about the ones that Boris Johnson might win off Labour because of his pro-Brexit position. But if he starts losing Remainers in seats that could be won by Labour, by the SNP, or in Winchester, by the Lib Dems, then his path to a majority and to getting back into Downing Street becomes much, much harder. And that's why voters like Alistair Lang, who also responded to our call out, could be absolutely critical in this election.
I think if I was in Dominic Raab's constituency, or John Redwood's constituency, or Ian Duncan-Smith's constituency, I'd be voting tactically to get them out. Here it's different because of the Steve Bryan factor and the fact that he would be a moderating influence, I think, in a Conservative government.
I mean, one of the things we keep hearing, and it sounds like we're hearing it from you as well, is that there is a certain wing of the Conservative Party that has felt politically homeless to some extent as a result of Brexit. Mm. And we've met people today who were sort of fighting to keep people like Steve Bryan in the party.
Yeah.
I mean, is that where you are, that you think you've got to stay and hope that the party comes back to you?
You know, I just don't know. As I say, my mood changes every day. You know, I would love to be able to talk to the candidates in this constituency and ask them a few questions like, how would you vote if, come the end of December next year, we haven't got a trade agreement? Would you, Steve Bryan, stick by the government? Or would you do what you did before and vote against the government? Because I think a responsible parliament would try and stop that, as they did before, in seizing the agenda and making sure that a no-deal Brexit was off the table.
I mean, it sounds like you're waking up every morning with a different opinion. When will you make your mind up?
Probably towards the end. They're having some hustings on the 6th of December. I shall go to that and I shall ask my question, and that will be quite influential.
You said it's hard sometimes to change a habit. I mean, do you find that it would be a real drag to
absolutely.
Do it?
Yeah. And Michael Heseltine, you know, long time stalwart of the Tory party, saying vote Lib Dem. I think a lot of people are in that position. And, you know, the trouble is you can't game what the outcome of that would be. What sort of hung parliament would it be? Who would be leading the new government?
You kind of summed it up, and maybe I can't ask you the answer to this because it sounds like you don't know it, but it's really about deciding Brexit or Corbyn.
Yeah. I think that's it, yeah.
The country goes to the polls 1 week tomorrow. Keep up with all the brilliant coverage across The Guardian from our Westminster team, reporters all over the country, and Andrew Sparrow's brilliant Politics Live blog. Coming up, Nina Lucani on the latest twist in the case of the murdered environmental activist Bertha Caceres. Now, in December last year, we reported on the story of Bertha Caceres, a Honduran environmental activist who was murdered after campaigning to stop the construction of a hydroelectric dam on the Gualcarque River. Almost a year later, seven men have been sentenced for her death, but for The Guardian's environmental justice reporter Nina Lucani, the fight is far from over.
Bertha Caceres was murdered after leading opposition to an internationally funded hydroelectric dam, which had been sanctioned to be constructed on a river considered sacred to Herba Lenca people. She was murdered after a long campaign of intimidation and repression, spearheaded by the company DESA behind the dam and enabled by the state's security forces, by high-ranking politicians who authorised a campaign of terror against her, her organisation Copin, and the community where the dam was going to be built. Out of the seven people who were found guilty, four we know were there that night. Those four hitmen are the ones who were given 34 years. The other three men, we do not believe that were there that night, but were involved, the court found, in the planning and the logistics of the murder. Two of those worked or had worked for the company behind the dam, DESA, and the third, Mariano Diaz, who was an active Special Forces major, stands out particularly. He, we believe, was involved in reconnaissance missions and provided a gun and other logistical support for a failed attempt the month before Bertha was actually murdered. I interviewed her at her family home in La Esperanza, which is in western Honduras, and it's the heart of Lenca territory. She'd won the Goldman Prize, which is sometimes called the Nobel Prize for environmentalists, just a year earlier, and had stood up on stage in front of thousands of people at the San Francisco Opera House and made everybody's hair stand on edge.
Nuestras conciencias serán sacudidas por el hecho de estar solo contemplando la autodestrucción basada en la depredación capitalista, racista y patriarcal.
She was politically smart, she was straight talking, but also funny, you know. She liked to go out and have a good time and never lost that. Even those last years when she knew she was being persecuted, when I met her in 2013, that was the first time I learned that her name had appeared on a military hit list. And she said to me then, I can take all the precautions, but in the end, when they want to kill me, they'll kill me. And that's how it turned out. This case is far from over. The people who gunned her down and the middlemen are the ones that have been found guilty and prosecuted so far. But those with the power, those who planned and benefited from her being killed, have yet to face justice. Really, the only reason that this went ahead was because of the international pressure. If that hadn't happened, I don't think anyone would have been prosecuted. Since Bertha's murder, another 24 land and environmental defenders have been murdered in Honduras, and none of those have got to court, and I doubt if any of them will. Well, while we're happy that seven people have been brought to justice, very little has changed in Honduras.
My thanks to Nina Lucani and to everyone who kindly took time out to speak to us in Winchester, including Alistair Lang, Felice and Peter Hardy, Ben Howlett, Steve Brine, Paula Ferguson, all the Tory and Lib Dem activists, and thanks also to Caroline Bannock here at The Guardian. Today's episode was produced by Elizabeth Cassin and Courtney Youssef. Sound design was by Ian Chambers and Arsalan Mohammed. The executive producers are Phil Maynard and Nicole Jackson. We'll be back tomorrow.